Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah. Hey, welcome back to the great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. We're all back from San Diego Comic-Con. We've rested up. We've gotten our stuff together. We're got rid of the nerd flu, and we're here for more fun. I'm David, here as always with my best buds in the whole world, Randy and Justin. How you guys doing today?
Fabulous. How are you?
Lovely. I'm great. Thanks for asking, Justin. How are you doing, David?
I asked you. What are you talking about? I asked you first. I'm doing great.
So I know, but I was trying not to disrupt the flow, and I just threw a big old monkey wrench in it.
We spent like 26 days down at Comic-Con. Stuff happened. There were some trailers. What the hell happened down south in California where it was supposed to be beautiful, but it was 1,000 degrees? Justin, tell me about these trailers.
It was ridiculously warm. You are correct. I didn't like that part.
Did you catch all of the Pokemon?
I didn't do a single Pokemon catch.
You did it wrong.
I tried, and I don't do.
No. Doing it wrong.
Yeah. Sorry.
Why do you even have a phone then?
It's to talk to people.
What? That's not what it's for.
I know. It's just a texting, like a baby's toy. Texting an internet machine.
it's for like Pokemon Go, and if you're not using Pokemon Go, you just throw it in the water, and it's useless.
Yeah, and Grindr.
So yeah, a lot of Grindr. What was your favorite trailer of the evening or of the weekend, Justin?
I think the Justice League one kind of takes the cake on that one, my friend.
Oh yeah? Why so?
I liked it. I thought it was fun, and it seemed like Batman enjoyed being Batman again. Like his attitude, Bruce Wayne's attitude and Batman's attitude in the trailer was like, "You know what? I'm actually kind of having fun fighting crime for a change." You know, he's laughing, he's making jokes. He's a lighthearted Batman.
Which is funny that he's all excited that, you know, he basically probably murdered the only person who could
save the world.
So I don't know if he should be too happy.
Well, he's like, I did beat the shit out of the strongest guy in the world. So ipso facto, I'm the strongest.
Survival of the fittest. Those two are dead, I'm alive. So I must be stronger.
Yeah, it resonated with me, Dave.
Ooh, resonated on your frequency. What about you, Randy? Did it resonate with you too?
It did. I enjoyed it, but my personal favorite trailer of the Comic-Con experience was Wonder Woman, because I absolutely love anything set during World War I. One of my favorite time periods, and I think it looks amazing. Looks way better than she's a way better first Avenger than Captain America.
But there's no internet or Pokemon Go in World War I, Randy. How can that be fun?
They have other ways of having fun.
Their pornography was like pinup girls who had clothes on.
Ooh, I like pinup girls though, Dave.
Yeah, it leaves a lot to the imagination, which is kind of a fun and sexy thing.
Mm-hmm. I bought a rocket just so I could have a pinup girl on it.
Oh. Well, kudos to you. I am going to have to break this tie. My vote goes to Justin. Justice League trailer was everything I think we all wanted and more. The Wonder Woman trailer was also cool. I really dig Chris Pine. I love that Wonder Woman's costume actually has color instead
The glowing lasso was so badass. Holy shit.
Yes, the glowing lasso. The lasso of truth was fantastic.
Yeah. I just don't know if I'll be able to take a movie serious that in the third act of the film is going to have Amazons riding on a horse kicking German butt. I don't know.
I don't know why every film doesn't have that in it.
So I'm the asshole.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, typically that's it. Yeah, Justice League. Can't imagine me ever saying that I'm excited for a Zack Snyder film. Which isn't to say I was excited for several of his films before he let me down. But what else was there, Justin? What other fine trailers were there?
Well, we had, I think that might be it.
Oh, yeah? You were all juiced up about Mr. Ritchie's King Arthur film.
Oh, no. So I love Guy Ritchie. I think he's made a few good movies, Snatch and Lockstock, and I'm even partial to the Sherlock Holmes movies myself, but I know that I'm in the minority when it comes to those movies, but I think it's just fun storytelling, and I like the way he does his little film school camera tricks. But this movie, I can't get behind. Yeah. I don't get it. It's a different kind of King Arthur story, and what makes King Arthur so interesting is his story. Why did they change it? So I don't know. It's gonna
don't
be
mess
weird.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right. So that might be interesting. There's a lot of Game of Thrones folk in the movie. I think I saw Littlefinger and the asshole Roose Bolton.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, it'll be fun. What about? Am I the only one? Oh, sorry.
I was gonna say, and Guy Ritchie always has good music in his movies too.
It does. So. Did you see Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
No.
Oh. It's actually pretty good.
That has Superman in it.
It does. It has Superman and what's his name? The other guy. Not Superman.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Nope. I don't think I'll be able to ever watch anything with him again.
I know.
After Batman v Superman, all I'm going to see is his terrible Lex Luthor.
He's just going to be putting Jolly Ranchers in people's mouths.
Oh my god, that was so worst product placement ever. Like, I'm sure people at Jolly Ranch are like, wait, what? What happened? That's what our product placement is?
It's pretty good.
Stock, sales of cherry Jolly Ranchers plummeted after that film, I'm sure.
They just go to waste. That's a shame.
Am I the only asshole not excited for Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them?
I'm not really excited either.
I love Harry Potter, like, love, and we'll talk about that later, but, like, it's just nothing I have seen is, like, oh, yeah, I'm getting a very, very strong Hobbit vibe, and it's uncomfortable, so I'm glad to hear that our buddy Ezra Miller from The Flash is going to be in it, but, I just can't get into it. They had a trailer at Comic-Con. What say you, Justin? You excited about Fantastic Beasts?
I wasn't until... that second trailer that they released that had, like, the original score in it.
Yeah.
Kind of reminded me that this was a Harry Potter-ish universe and things, but, I don't really get it. He loses his luggage and the contents inside, and that's the movie?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get, like, I originally thought he was, like, brought in to, like, find them, but now it sounds like he's the reason they're loose?
Yeah.
Like, the juice is loose because of Eddie Redmayne? Because of the guy from Jupiter Ascending?
Yeah.
Unless I didn't go with his Academy Award winning turn as Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
Everything's kind of goes straight to, again, Jupiter Ascending. Oh, that poor movie. Had so much going for it. But yeah, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. But you really got a kick out of the Blair Witch one, right, Justin?
I did. That surprised me. In fact, it might even just be a feeling of nostalgia. The first Comic-Con I ever went to was the summer that Blair Witch came out.
Nice.
And the girl that played... the name Heather Donahue stands out. Is that a real name or is that a name in the movie?
I don't know.
Doesn't matter. Either way, she was there. And I was like, oh yeah, that movie's fucking badass. And that kind of got me into the whole found footage thing. So I think it was just tugging on my feels. I was at Comic-Con when they revealed that it was a Blair Witch movie, and the trailer seems kind of intense. It's a little scary.
Yeah. It was fun that we didn't know it was going to be a Blair Witch movie. Like, it was being advertised as a different film, and then they're like, oh, by the way, it's the Blair Witch.
Yeah, it's a nice little follow-up to it. Of course, there was a Blair Witch 2, but it wasn't all that good. This one is actually...
Book of Shadows.
Yeah, Book of Shadows is like a sort of a... its own little weird movie, whereas this one, it's the lady that goes missing. It's her brother that's trying to track her down.
Oh.
So, it'll be fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
And we got a trio of Netflix or Marvel originals. We got our first real full Luke Cage trailer. Mm. We got a real quick teaser for Iron Fist, the next part of the Defenders. And then we got a teaser in the truest form of the Defenders. Did these stand out to you boys?
Mm-hmm.
You guys like Jessica Jones, right?
Yeah,
oh,
I loved
amazing.
It.
Luke Cage looks freaking badass too.
He's a big dude.
He is, and he's just like when he just rips like that car door, and he's just using it as a shield, just bursting through the building. It's just pretty epic looking. I love it. But what I noticed, or rather didn't notice, was they had no trailer or anything to show for Punisher. While he's involved in the Defenders, probably. I would have thought by now they would have had some sort of teaser or something to kind of kick off his standalone series.
Yeah, I don't know if they know how to handle it yet.
Yeah, the only thing I could think of is maybe they didn't expect his appearance in Daredevil to be as popular as it was, so they didn't really necessarily really count on the fact that people would want to see a whole series, so they were kind of playing it safe. But now they got to work on the quick step to get caught up.
Yeah, I wonder if he'll be in Defenders.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, the original conceit was it was the four shows they were going to have, but, you know, with him being so popular, maybe they'll pigeonhole him in a couple episodes. He can guest star. Shit gets so serious that he has to come in. Fix things.
Yeah, and just shoot everybody. They try and punch people in the face, and it doesn't work. So he shoots them in the face instead.
Yeah, he's just sitting on top of a rooftop just sniping people.
Yeah, punch twice, shoot once.
Go get him, Red.
Yeah. You go high, I'll go low.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that.
But honestly, Netflix, they're just fucking killing it with their original programming, and I can't get enough of it, so these shows can't come soon enough.
Yeah.
Randy, on our last show, was talking about that show, Stranger Things, and I finally started watching it, and it's incredible. Just downright
so
incredible.
Good.
Yeah.
Blown away. It placed all the nostalgia feels from the 80s, and it's actually really good storytelling and great performances, and the kid actors are amazing. It's just so good. Everything about the series.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to checking it out. I just haven't had a chance, but everyone I know is telling me how great it is, so gotta get on that.
Mm-hmm.
Jump on it.
Jump on it.
Yeah. And then, again, we got the normal other trailers. I mean, you got, you know, the CW shows, Flash, Arrow, they had trailers. Nothing, no huge, you know, I think the Flash one probably had the biggest reveals, like that Barry Allen's just keeping Thawne in his basement.
it's kind of weird.
Yeah, just keep him prisoner.
Who's the villain now?
Yeah. To where, like, yeah, Flash is like, I'm like, you're kind of a bad guy, Flash.
Yeah. Which is pretty appropriate. I mean, he fucked time for his own personal benefit.
Yeah, I wonder how long that's. I wonder how long they're going to keep that up. I wonder if
all season.
No. I wonder how long until he fixes the timeline. Or, I'm sure it won't be 100% fixed, but like puts it back to the status quo. Yeah. What's your guess? Episode over under episode 6.
Ooh. I'll go ahead and go first. I'll take over just because I was half joking but half serious when I said the entire season.
Yeah. Maybe they stretch it out to like the fall premiere or the winter finale.
Maybe.
Like the mid-season.
I just think it's going to be longer rather than shorter.
Yeah.
Wait, for what? For Flash?
Yeah, until they fix time.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's got to be short because it's going to affect all the shows in some way. I think mid-season finale it'll be fixed.
Wow.
I think it would be dumb to continue because none of it's going to have any consequence when it's all said and done. Whatever damage they do, it's all going to be rewritten, so it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, I can see there being some personal consequences. Like, you know, at the end of season 2, Iris was, like, all ready to just tear off that crimson suit and just have her away with the Flash to where, you know, he may have boned that relationship or something. Or maybe Joe doesn't like him anymore or something.
I don't think so. I think that Iris and Barry are meant to be together. And it's about that time where the third season, the fourth at the latest, is when the relationship is finally going to blossom into what it needs to be.
Very nice.
It just gets a little old after a while. Like, remember with Castle, how stupid it was that Castle and Beckett weren't together for, like, the first 3 seasons? It's like, you guys obviously like each other, and the writers are keeping you apart when it doesn't need to be like this.
Yeah.
It's just, it's dumb.
Writers ruin everything.
Mm-hmm. So do scientists.
Yes. Scientists will be the cause of the end of this world.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
But yeah, those are the big trailers. Anything else, San Diego Comic Con, you wanna that it stuck out, you wanted to chat about? Anything else you saw that you love, that you wanted to relive?
Just you guys.
Aw. You're such a sweetheart.
In a sweaty, small, little mosquito-filled room with no air conditioning.
Oh my god, man, my bites are finally healed. Like, my Amy saw my bites, and they got so bad, like on Monday. It looked like I had just gotten eaten alive. It was pretty bad.
We've been back for over a week now, and just last night, I accidentally scratched off a scab on the back of one of my calves, and it bled all the way down into my sock. It was just a bloody mess. I've still got gnarly little red marks all over my legs.
Yeah, I have quite a few.
But it was still a good time.
We bleed for Comic-Con.
We bleed Comic-Con red.
That's what we do. But, it was fun, but in the real world, it just kept spinning, and a lot of rumors for Rogue One were that a lot of the reshoots were going to be to bring us some Han Solo love, since they had recently cast the young Han Solo. But director Gareth Edwards and Kathleen Kennedy, the executive producer, went on extra, and they confirmed that neither young Han Solo nor Hayden Christensen's Anakin Skywalker will appear in Rogue One. Of course, we know Anakin Skywalker / Darth Vader will appear, but Hayden Christensen and Han Solo will not. Thoughts, Randy?
I'm completely okay with it. Han Solo, I honestly don't see where he would fit in the storyline with any kind of involvement with the Rebels, because it just wouldn't make sense for his character. By the time he meets up with old Obi-Wan and Luke in the cantina, it didn't seem like he's the guy that's had any kind of contact with the Rebels anytime in the recent past.
Right.
And also, I mean, honestly, that's treading like super close to the period of time of A New Hope. So if he doesn't look like freaking Harrison Ford from circa 1976 when they shot the original Star Wars, I'm not going to buy it, because it's like Rogue One in my thoughts. I could be wrong, but I believe it to take place like within like days before the events of A New Hope begins. So it would have to be. You know, I think that's just treading too close to the timeline. And when it comes to Hayden Christensen, I think I never in my wildest dreams thought we'd see him in Rogue One, because he has no reason to be out of his mask unless somebody fucks him up, which I doubt. But I still am under the impression that there's a very strong possibility we may see him in Episode 8. So don't give up on seeing Hayden Christensen triumphantly return to the Star Wars universe just yet.
I'll keep praying in my hope chest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's fine, the Han Solo thing. I mean, they should can the old canon in which, you know, he had play within finding the Rebel plan, so I'm fine with no Han Solo. What about you, Justin?
Yeah, totally fine.
And
I could care less.
I hear that the guy that they have in the Vader suit is like some sort of bodybuilder on par with like how Dave Prowse was back in the 70s. Right. So he's going to be the appropriately beefed up Vader and not the kind of scrawny Vader that Hayden Christensen was at the end of Revenge of the Sith. Yeah. Which I have
no
nothing
flips
against.
And twirls for this guy.
Yeah, I have nothing against it. I just for the last 20 years, Vader's been pumping some iron, and now he's all roid raged out, and that's why he's going to take it out on them Rebels.
Yeah,
he's them Rebels.
Padme died. I killed her. I gotta work out.
Yeah.
I think that I think they want to go back to bigger Vader, because I think they really want to distance themselves from the sword fights of the laser sword fights, as George Lucas would call it, of the prequels. But
yeah. And they also went back to the exact style of Vader costume from A New Hope. You can tell because like the stitching is different, and I think the gloves are different, and the helmet is different. I think they call it the asymmetrical helmet, because it's kind of like, if you were to split it right down the center, because it's handmade, it's a little bit different on each side. It's not perfect. Whereas in Empire and Jedi, I think they went and corrected it, and there was a new sculpt for the Vader helmet.
Yeah.
You're more familiar with that because you've done the research, because you're eventually going to be the big man himself in the 501st. So.
Yeah, one day. We'll see. But Revenge of the Sith, they also had a symmetrical helmet as well. I remember that was a big hubbub that the person who cast it made it too perfect. So it'll be good. Getting back to the good old days of Episode 4. Everybody's favorite Star Wars. Except everybody.
Except everybody.
Except everybody. No, no one ever puts episode 4 as their favorite Star Wars. I mean,
yeah, some, you know, it's true.
A small contingent, I guess, would. But they'd be liars. They'd be, you know, delusional. On par with someone putting episode 3 Ray High. But anyways, Harry Potter. He has a new book.
No.
The hell you say?
He's back.
The story's done.
The boy who lived still lives.
No.
Now he's the man who lives. And you know what? His scar starts to hurt.
Does it really?
It does. Going back to the well again. But yeah, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child is the written adaptation of the stage play that premiered in London on the 30th of July. And yeah, it's fun. You know, I like the Harry Potter books. I like Harry Potter as a character. I read it this weekend, and it was fun to be back in the world. And unlike Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, Harry Potter has a significant role in this book, and I enjoyed it. So yeah, you guys will have to read it and tell me if you enjoyed it as well.
I will, actually, because I enjoy the Harry Potter universe so much that, or at least the ones revolving around original characters, that there's no way I won't eventually read this. It just might take me a couple weeks to get to it.
they do some good world building. They answer the questions you want to know. Like, you know, what is Hermione the Minister of Magic? You know, was Harry, you know, an Auror? You know, who's where? And they really let you know, like, all the characters that you know and love from the original series, you see, like, where they are in this world. So, and it's kind of nice. It takes place, so it's not like, this isn't like Harry Potter's son's, like, first year in Hogwarts. Like, the book takes place over, like, 3 years.
That's cool.
So it's kind of nice. Like, so you see, like, the first 3 years of Albus Severus Dumbledore.
So it pretty much picks up right after the prologue or epilogue from Deathly Hallows.
Yeah, it starts probably 10 minutes before that scene. So it starts as they go through into the platform of 9 3/4. That's how the book opens.
That's fun.
And then we see like a truncated version of that prologue scene from Deathly Hallows, and then it goes right into Albus and all the other characters on the Hogwarts Express. And we're off and running on a train.
I like it.
Yeah. But if I have one complaint, it's just that everybody is an offspring of somebody else. Like, it's not like there's not many new characters. You know, like, the characters we follow are, like, Draco's son and Harry's son and Ron and Hermione's kid. And there's not a lot of new blood. A
lot of inbreeding in the magic folk.
Yeah, seriously. But it involves a lot of time turning and time travel, so. Yeah,
that's cool. We've often talked about the ability to time turn and, you know, if they could go back to save Buckbeak, why couldn't they go back and, you know, change more significant events?
Right. They kind of addressed that just because it was
after
was
the fact they addressed.
Well, Hermione's time turner gets destroyed in Prisoner of Azkaban.
It does?
Yeah, her time turner doesn't work anymore.
But they had it. When did they acquire it in the first place anyway?
As a Prisoner of Azkaban.
No, I know. That's when she got it. But when did Dumbledore and give it to her? Like, I mean, when did he have it in his possession? Is this something that he's had a long time? Or did he get it 10 minutes ago and say, oh, wait, I better give this to Hermione?
He's had it for a long time. But we learned that there are different kinds of time turners. So all of the time turners that we've seen before could go back like an hour or two. They weren't ones that could go back like a significant amount of time. Mm-hmm. Toward what's different about the one that they find in this book is that this one, a very powerful wizard, has made one that can go back and a conceivably unlimited amount of time in the past.
Ah.
And so that's why this one is so much dangerous. And there's been a lot of articles written in the last couple of weeks about people being displeased that, you know, if why did all these other people have to die if Hermione had these time turners and stuff like that. But then it's clearly established in this book that Hermione's time turner was a little weak. And this one is Jimmy Strong.
The import.
Yeah, that's right. It's from Japan. It's a new model.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, yeah. If you can stomach the name Albus Severus Dumbledore.
So bad.
It's pretty terrible. If you can stomach that, then the book will be a fun read. And it reads really quick because, like I said, it's not like a narrative book. It's a straight adaptation of the script they used for the play. So, you know, it's got, like, stage direction and it's got, you know, dialogue. So pages go quick. So definitely check it out. Sucks that it's a hardcover, but what can you do? It's like $18 at Target and Amazon right now.
At Target, you get a free poster.
That's right. I got my free poster.
Right.
I don't have a clue what I'm going to do with it, but I got one.
You can get it as an ebook too, right?
Yeah, you can get it as an ebook. I don't know how much cheaper it is, but...
Why don't you just go see the play?
Yeah, just go to London and see the play.
Then you won't even have to worry about anything taking up space on your device or your shelf.
Okay.
That's right.
I'm sold.
Let's all go to London. Yeah, I think it, probably within a year it'll go to New York, and then a year later it'll go to L.A. So, you know, it'll be out our way, about 2 years. By then the movie will probably be out.
How many characters are in this book? Can you have a big Harry Potter party and just have everybody read lines from it?
You could. I mean, there's probably 10 major characters, you know, but I mean, like, because you have the old cast, you know, you have Harry, Ron, Hermione, to where you can almost double up, you know, if, like, you be Ron and Albus or something like that. But if you had 10 people, you could put on a fun little reading, get some drinks in you, some cocktails.
We should do it.
Have someone on, like, a lira or something playing the theme song. Maybe a recorder.
Shit.
Yeah.
He's talking loco.
That's right. But boys are boys, girls are girls. Gender bending is coming to Hollywood in a big way, right?
And Dave hates it.
Dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. And I have no problem with gender bending. I actually think the splash gender bend is kind of a fun way to do it, you know?
But yeah, with a merman.
He hated Ghostbusters.
I loved Ghostbusters.
You hate ghosts and women. You know, first of all, you don't believe in ghosts. So you don't believe in this movie.
No, he doesn't believe in women. That's what he doesn't believe in.
Oh, man, you're the worst.
I put them in the traps.
Oh. Yeesh.
Got a woman in a box.
So we have a merman movie now?
Yeah, so it's going to be Remake of Splash. Channing Tatum is going to be a merman, and Gillian Bell will be the Tom Hanks character. Ron Howard, who directed the original Splash, is going to be an executive producer with Brian Grazer, his partner. And, yeah. Could be fun. Channing Tatum's a fun, entertaining guy. I like watching him, especially when he's dancing naked.
I like him in G.I. Joe, Rise of Cobra.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. I like that movie.
Yeah. Did you ever see either of the 21 Jump Street movies?
I saw the first one.
It's pretty good.
And second one was good. Plenty.
Oh, you're crazy. They're good. Mm-hmm. They're worth a watch.
So they better not mess with my Rocketeer, that's all I'm saying.
I don't know. I hear there's going to be a Rocketeer, and they're not only going to gender bend it into a female, they're going to change the race. So we're going to have a sex war and a race war with this movie called The Rocket, cleverly called The Rocketeers.
Is it a sequel or is it a reboot?
They're touting it as a reboot / sequel.
What does that even mean?
It doesn't mean anything. It's one or the other.
It means that it will take place within the same universe, but it'll function as a reboot to the franchise. So Jennifer Connelly and whatever the unnamed
actor, Billy Campbell,
they will probably not have a place in this film.
So they won't have a place, but they existed.
But their characters did exist.
But they did exist. Yes, the events of the original Rocketeer will take place.
So do we know what time period this takes place?
Yeah, it takes place 7 years after the original.
Oh, cool. So it's still back in like the 40s.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah. But so the Germans are fighting Russians.
Yes, but it's being touted. It's confusing. It's being touted as a modern retelling, but it's going to take place in the late 40s, early 50s.
They need to get their fucking verbiage right, man. The part of the confusion with Ghostbusters was the showing of the original firehouse, right, and us thinking that, hey, wait a minute, this is in the same universe, and then it's not.
And well, this one will definitely take place within the same universe.
Why don't they just call it a sequel then? It's just a straight up sequel. A sequel that is reintroducing life into the franchise. I don't like the term reboot when it's in the same universe. Yeah.
But can you have a sequel without any of the same characters?
No, it's not called a sequel. It's called a spinoff at that point.
Well, there you go.
Which is what this would be.
If it's the same costume, if it's the same,
but who are they spinning?
Rocketeer outfit. Then it's the outfit.
Yeah,
it's a character.
Off an inanimate object.
No, you are. You're spinning off the costume. The Rocketeer is just like Batman. It's a symbol. You know, I'm not wearing hockey pads.
I'm Harvey Dent.
Any asshole Any asshole can be Batman. It's just you gotta have the thing. It's just like Rocketeer.
So yeah, Batman, any asshole can be Rocketeer.
Batman is still Batman, and he's got his whole cast of characters to come with him. This conceivably will be an entirely new cast of characters. So there's no one to spin off into a new show, and there's no conjoining tissue to make it a sequel.
It's a world where the Rocketeer has already existed. It was a top secret weapon where it got into the hands of a crazy pilot, because they're all crazy, and he did his thing with it. Now he has retired the outfit, but some other asshole picks up the outfit and says, "Wait a minute, there's still life in this fucker. I'm gonna fly it."
And maybe there you go. See, maybe there's one character that's back from the first one.
Yeah.
Maybe Locke from Lost will come back to play Howard Hughes again.
There you go. That's very possible. He was the guy that was trying to get it all going.
Yeah.
This works.
He came up with it when he was wearing Phoenix.
That's why it's half sequel, half reboot.
I can't believe I'm even defending this fucking movie. I hate
right?
Rocketeer.
I can't believe you. The fucking Rocketeer is terrible.
Anyway,
it has great music. I will give you that.
Yeah.
Got a great poster, too.
It does. Those are the two best things going for it.
Did you see the Mondo poster that I posted in the article that they recently did?
Yeah.
It's a pretty rad poster. I'm like, that looks pretty cool.
I don't know. The more you're talking about it, because I heard about it a little bit peripherally, but it's one of those things because it's near and dear to my heart, the original, so I didn't want to know too much. So you're really educating me here, and I'm liking what I'm hearing. I like the fact that it's taking place in what I consider the appropriate time period of 40s, 50s. I like that it's in the same universe, and honestly, it doesn't matter who the Rocketeer or Rocketeers are. I think just the idea of anybody can strap on a jetpack and get a cool helmet with a fin on it and just go flying through the sky. So I'm on board with this.
I think we can all agree that it's a happy. Stupid title.
Well, you know,
like Aliens.
Could come up with something better. And speaking, while we're talking about title and women and gender bending and reboots, I finally just saw Ghostbusters this past weekend. So I'm the last on the back of the bus, finally watching the movie. But I didn't hate it. It was enjoyable at parts. But I noticed at the very end when they had the title screen, Ghostbusters, it was like Ghostbusters Answer the Call. So I wonder if that was always meant to be a subtitle, because I always thought it was just kind of like a tagline on the posters. But seeing it in print on the screen made it seem like it was Ghostbusters : Answer the Call. Like, that's the name of the movie. You know what I mean?
If you see something, say something.
Right?
That's why I've seen so many calls on strange bags.
So stupid. I never noticed, Randy. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah. How confusing was it when the Ghost Corps logo came up? Because that's the production company for it.
Right.
I'm like, wait, did they rename this movie? And nobody told us?
Yeah, they should have just left the Ghostbusters logo out of the Ghost Corps logo, probably.
Yeah, it was a bit confusing. But then we got the other 13 production companies. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it now.
And you get them twice. You get them before the movie, and then you get them after before the actual credits start, you get the
logos.
The production company and the logos, and then you get when the credits start rolling, you get them all again. I hate that.
Right. It's a Paul Feig film in association with, and you have to watch them. I'm like, I just saw them.
Yeah, God, I hate that. I hate it so much.
You're like, that was not even English.
So stupid.
So stupid.
It's so stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you said you loved it, Randy, every second of it, including Holtzman, especially Holtzman.
I thought a lot of it felt forced. Most of the performances were pretty solid, but some of them were forced. I just felt like the dialogue and the writing felt forced just to make it too similar to the original Ghostbusters. I would have liked to have seen it deviate more. And I don't understand why Rowan was the chosen one to be able to open all these portals by creating those devices to kind of create the rift to bring the ghosts in. I don't understand exactly how he became this conduit from the other side. That was never really explained. And it bugged the hell out of me. I'm sitting there all the way through the end of the movie. I'm like, all right, so they can trap these ghosts in a trap, and they can whip them around the street. But where the hell are they putting them? Because there was no like mention of any kind of containment unit until that post-credit scene or mid-credit scene.
Right.
They just fucking shoot them and then they're done with them.
But yeah. How like awesome was that scene, though?
How awesome was the scene when you see Rowan in that little room with the big superconductor and you see all the ghosts trying to get out of the glass?
That's okay. That's badass. I mean, there's that's a lot of really cool visuals. I'm not going to say that this movie didn't look awesome. It looked amazing.
Yeah.
They had a lot of good things going for it. It's just there were some things I didn't quite get.
Yeah, that's fine. I kind of liked that it was just a dude. The villain was just a normal dude who just had a bad day.
And what gave him the power when he died? Okay, cool. I understand he killed himself so he could go to the other side and be able to inhabit somebody. But what gave him the power to be able to get all big and Stay Puft Marshmallow Man?
Super Devil Juice.
Super Devil Juice? Give me that little
give
girl.
Give me that. You stayed for after the credits? You got your Zool?
Yeah.
That was just along the lines of, I'm not going to tell you his name, but people call him Strider.
So his name's Strider? It's like, no. Like, why can't you tell me his name? He's like, wanted? Is he like, got a warrant or something?
He's like, you got to do some of the work yourself, buddy.
Yeah. I'm not going to do this all for you. I'm not wearing hockey pads.
Yeah.
So you're in on the Rocketeer reboot sequel, Randy?
I am. Bring it on.
Reboot sequel, spinoff.
We're gonna call it a rebuquel.
A rebuquel.
So stupid.
Sounds like that's probably gonna be the character's name.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Rebuquel.
So stupid.
Yeah.
Fucking rock. Maybe I'll get toys this time, Randy.
Hey, as long as they get the license to be able to do like the original movie as well. Then again, I mean, we got the reaction figure, the Rocketeer reaction figure.
Did you buy those?
I did. I got the black and white version, and I have the color version. And they didn't make any other characters. They just made the Rocketeer himself. But I have a feeling that had they made it...
No Timothy Dalton?
No, I know, which is a shame, right? But I have a feeling that had they made it back in the early 90s when the Rocketeer first came out, it would have looked very similar to those reaction figures.
Oh, yeah. They done so, dog shit.
I was quite happy with that. I remember the only kind of like figural form of the Rocketeer that I had when I was a kid was this thing they sold in Disney parks, and it was a candy dispenser, and you pry off the Rocketeer's head and then you pour candy out of his neck. And it was just a little bit taller than the appropriate 3 3/4 inch size figures, but I used the hell out of that thing as a Rocketeer figure.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately the Rocketeers is going to be made by Disney. And Disney doesn't make toys that have girls. They only make boy toys. So if the main character is going to be a girl, there's not a lot of hope.
Well, that's false.
Which part?
Because Disney princesses. That's all girls, and there's a shitload of dolls.
But this
toys.
Is an action movie.
Okay, well, let's go right back to Comic-Con. One of the Hasbro exclusives was a Jyn Erso 6-inch Black Series figure from Rogue One. And I think they did that on purpose rather than give us like one of those cool black death troopers or something like that, because they don't want people bitching, you know, hashtag where's Jyn, just like the whole problem with where's Rey.
Wait, so, but it was an exclusive?
It was an exclusive.
So they only had to make like five of them.
Yeah, they're not going to make a bunch of them. They just made one for the convention.
And just like last year, the exclusive that they had was a First Order Stormtrooper. They put out the identical Stormtrooper during Force Friday event in September, just like they're going to put out the identical figure now. It's just going to be in a different box. It's like the commemorative box is the exclusive part. You're going to get the exact same figure in September when all the Rogue One stuff gets released. So anyway, not to detract us and keep taking us back to Comic-Con, but it's like I have PTSD and I keep like flashing back to the convention.
Back to the war.
This time.
It is. I'm not gonna compare it to war because I don't want to do that. But it is a rough experience.
It can be rough.
So many people.
Yeah. Next time we're there, we'll just say Beetlejuice 3 times, and he'll come and help us out.
Oh shit!
But if he's in a sequel, do we have to say it six times?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. There's been a lot of rumblings over the last couple years of a possible Beetlejuice sequel. Winona Ryder said she was interested. Michael Keaton said if Tim Burton's doing it, you know, and it's a good script, he'll do it. Tim Burton had mentioned that he might be interested in doing it, but when Michael Keaton was on tour doing press for one of his films, he said that he thinks that ship may have sailed, that that everyone might be past it and have moved on with their lives. So I think I'm fine with without having a Beetlejuice sequel. I love the original, but the sequel probably would have disappointed us. But what say you? What say you, Rando? Start with you this time.
I mean, it doesn't really affect me that much because I'm not a big fan of the original, which is kind of a shock because I know I'm generally in favor of anything pairing Tim Burton and Danny Elfman.
Wait. I don't think we're going to just skip by this, Randy. You fan of the original Beetlejuice?
Yeah. It's a piece of shit.
If I had to make a movie I thought you would love in a laboratory, it would be Beetlejuice.
Oh, I can't watch more than like 5 minutes of it at a time.
Oh man, that's a shame. It's hilarious.
You know, honestly, I'm kind of pulling your chain just because I know it gets a reaction.
Oh, okay. I didn't think that was possible.
No, but I'm gonna admit something to you, and I'm deadly serious when I say this. I've never seen it all the way through. But. Here's the thing. I actually went to go see it at the drive-in theater when I was a kid. And like when it first came out, what year did it come out? Like 87, 88, something like that? Was it before Batman?
Yeah, it was like 88, I guess.
So, yeah, I was pretty young, didn't appreciate it whatsoever. I remember I went to go to the playground, and I was sitting on top of the slide watching the other five movies at the different screens going around, completely not caring about Beetlejuice.
Well, that's what you do at a drive-in.
Yeah, it's totally what you want when you're a kid, yeah. You know, and when you're a prepubescent kid, you go up there and you start looking which movie has the boobies in it, you know? But yeah, I'm sorry. I don't think I've ever seen it all the way through. I don't have anything against it. But yeah, I just never took the time to do that.
Huh.
Yeah, I'll
have to borrow a copy of it.
Do it. Isn't it on Netflix or Prime or some shit?
It's on Netflix.
Well, in that case, there's no reason why I shouldn't be watching it right this second.
No excuse. We'll watch it and do a commentary.
I would be down with that. I think we ought to do a commentary every once in a while.
Let's do it. I'm ready.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
I mean, like, a good movie.
Batman and Robin.
Oh, my God. Justin and Felix, before they left, we watched all of Batman Forever.
Which I can't believe we did that, to be honest with you.
I just had it on. I'm like, I guess we'll. I mean, it was fun. We were goofing on it. We were having a good time.
Was it from the beginning, or did you come
back?
Yes,
from the very beginning.
See, that is an utterly watchable movie, though. I really enjoy Batman Forever.
It's terrible.
It came out. I'm not saying it's a good movie. I'm just saying I could sit down and watch it. Because I have a weird sense of nostalgia for it. It came out like I had just graduated high school, you know, and that was like it came out during summertime, right?
So yeah, 95.
Could see it. I saw that movie probably 4 or 5 times in the theater. I actually kind of enjoy that movie. Batman and Robin is the one that rubs me the wrong way the most.
I could say that Batman Forever may be the worst written film ever from a dialogue point of view. From a dialogue and a performance point of view.
Oh, shit.
Like, it could be the worst film in the history of cinema.
The second Bank of Gotham on the second anniversary of when I arrested Toothpaste.
It's boiling acid! That's my hearing aid!
Oh,
shit. I'll get right through.
The bat signal's not a beeper.
Yeah. Oh man. And if they were trying for like a campy, like 66 Batman type vibe, I would be like, you know what? This movie is the best. Mm-hmm. Like, I truly think that when they got to Batman and Robin, they were going for a campy vibe. And so I give Batman and Robin a little more leeway than Batman Forever. But Shoemaker was trying to make a serious Tim Burton-esque Batman film with Batman Forever.
Mm, pretty good.
Good Tommy Lee Jones. Jim Carrey.
Seal on the soundtrack. Come on.
Jim Carrey. Everything he says is awful. And I love Jim Carrey. Yeah. Beetlejuice.
Oh, yeah. Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
I'd watch a Beetlejuice, too.
I'd watch it. I'm sure we'd be disappointed, though. like Han Solo was the father, he would have disappointed you.
Mm, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of disappointed, what about Game of Thrones, Justin?
Oh, breaking news. That's Justin. Fucking Game of Thrones is officially going to end after 8 seasons. We have 2 seasons to go.
Do we know if 8 will be short as well?
Mm, I think it is.
I would guess it would. I just didn't know if they had officially said that.
I don't know the answer to that. I think
like we have this many episodes left. Like we have 14 episodes left.
Mm, I think that I just don't want to be disappointed. And it's so hard to end a show.
Right.
It's so hard. It's they got to do the fan service, and they got to explore their creative side, and there's a lot of expectations. There's a lot of predictions. There's a lot riding on this show.
Yeah.
And after 8 years, people, you know, feel like they're owed something, and that's tough, man.
I think it's exciting that I think most people would be accepting of a large amount of people that would be on the Iron Throne. Like, there's probably like 7 or 8 people that if they ended up on the Iron Throne, I wouldn't be upset. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like there's
who would upset you?
No, I don't really know. It would have to be someone out of the ordinary. You know, if Dany ends up on the Iron Throne, I'm fine. If Jon Snow ends up there, I'm fine. If Sansa ends up there, you know, Littlefinger ends up there, you know, fuck if Cersei ends up there, I'll be stoked. I'll be the only asshole like cheering my head off. Like, Cersei did it. She did it. Mm-hmm. She killed all 3 of her kids and her husband, but she did it.
Yeah. There's nothing that she wouldn't do. I totally want to get a shirt that says "And long may she reign." I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah, I'd get down on that. There was some interesting from Comic-Con that Sophie Turner, who plays Sansa, said that she's not terribly thrilled, or her character is not thrilled that Jon Snow is the King of the North. Mm-hmm. So I think they may be hinting at that there will be some serious Snow on Stark infighting.
Oh, shit.
I'm not saying I want Sansa to get stuck in the crosshairs and maybe die horribly and painfully and slowly, but if it does, I'll be happy.
I'm glad.
I'll be cheering. Exactly. I'll be like, they did it! I'll be like, Cersei did it!
Yeah, she's been hanging out with that Littlefinger too long.
Yeah. Well, now that we have 2 seasons confirmed, do you think Cersei will reign with an iron fist for the next season? And then the last season will just be like, later, Cersei.
Yeah, I think that that's probably a fair assumption. I think she's going to have all of season 7 to fuck things up for the realm. I think that she will be in large and in charge for the entirety of season 7.
Yeah, and that sets up a season 8, like Battle of the Queens.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But they got bigger fish to fry. Those White Walkers are going to ruin it for everybody.
That's true. Maybe the 7th season is all about Daenerys finally takes over. She defeats Cersei, Battle of the Queens. She's the leader. And then the last season is like, oh yeah, these White Walkers are here now.
Mm-hmm.
Like the final shot of like season 7 is like the White Walkers using that horn and like taking down the wall and then just charging into Westeros and then cuts to black.
Yeah, that could be fair. I'm just curious if the second to last episode is going to be treated like episode 9, or if we're going to treat the last 2 seasons like one long season in theory, and it be whatever the 3rd episode that's super mega amazing or something like that.
Yeah,
I'm curious how that plays.
Yeah, I bet it's the latter. I bet they make it like one long season. And I bet they wrap everything up with, like, one episode left, and, like, the last episode will be, like, kind of like an epilogue for the series.
Mm.
I like epilogues. Yeah.
Do we get a happy ending, yes or no?
Game of Thrones, you kidding?
Everyone dies.
The White Walkers win. that Night King or whatever, he sits on the Iron Throne, he's like, that was easy.
And it turns into ice.
Yeah.
Like fucking in World of Warcraft.
Yeah. Frozen Throne. Mm-hmm. I'd be excited if the White Walkers just won. Like, that would be the ultimate, like, George R. R. Martin, like, fuck you. Oh, yeah, the White Walkers win. There's a lot of them, and they can't be killed. Of course they win.
Yeah, idiots.
Stupids. I spent all these seasons and books telling you how awesome they were. Do you think they were going to be beaten?
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah.
I do want the wall to come down, though. I think that is a dead technology.
Yeah. I think they've hinted at that a lot, and I think it might end up being Bran's fault.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. It's his whole show is his fault.
Yeah. Well, it's mostly Sansa's fault.
Yeah.
I guess he wasn't climbing.
Well, if he wasn't climbing, he wouldn't have gotten injured, and he wouldn't have caused Catelyn Stark to go on this crusade to prove that the Lannisters were evil, and she wouldn't have arrested Tyrion, and then they wouldn't have gotten a fight in King's Landing, and everything would have been just hunky-dory.
I agree. Anytime you can blame stuff on a Stark, I'm behind you.
Mm-hmm. Fuck all that shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, man. It's going to be tough. I know that a lot of people have a lot riding on this show, myself included. Maybe if you don't get the ending that you prefer, someday Mr. George R. R. Martin will finish the series, and perhaps his ending might be more to your liking.
Do you think we get Book 6, Winds of Winter, before or after the end of Season 8?
Oh, wow, before the show's over completely?
Yeah.
Before the series finale?
Yeah, before the series finale, next, or two Aprils, or two Mays from now.
I think we'll get it before then. I think he's close. And by close, I mean, like, yeah, maybe less than a year away.
I think he almost has to from, like, a publicity standpoint, just because it would be a huge thing. Like, the Game of Thrones ending, and then he can kind of tack on, you know, like he kind of did with Dance of Dragons came out, you know, right around the time of the first
show launching. Yeah.
So it was like that same thing with like Harry Potter, like Goblet of Fire came out like when the movie came out. I just think it's such good synergy that it would be a real missed opportunity. Mm-hmm. And get everyone in a fever. And then, you know, 6 years later, you know, when Book 7 comes out, you could be excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
I'm always excited for Game of Thrones.
Even Feast for Crows.
Yeah, well, I liked how Cersei had her own chapters. That was new for me. And I like to see how batshit crazy she really was.
Yes.
That to me, that kind of made it worth it. And it is the shortest book. So there is that. Mm-hmm. But she was just a scathing woman. You know, her father was dead, and she blamed her brother, and she was convinced that he was hiding in the walls trying to do more damage. And she was just a broken woman, man. She was really, really scared. She just lost her son. She lost her kid and her father. That's a lot to go down in a couple of days. So,
yeah. That's the one thing we didn't really get in the show, of like Cersei's paranoia that Tyrion was still there, mm-hmm. waiting to kill her because he killed her son, killed her dad, now he wants to kill her.
Yeah. It somehow, some way, it actually generated sympathy in my mind for her. I felt bad for her as a human being.
Yeah.
She wouldn't even need to wash my windows for me to chuck some coins her way.
Yeah. Plus, she's a Lannister. You always gotta, you know, Lannister's the best.
That's true.
Uh-huh. Well, cool, man. Anything else? Anybody got anything?
Mm-mm.
Randy, got anything? Got some?
Yeah, actually, I do. Thanks for asking. This weekend, on the 6th of August, at Gen Con, we are going to be showing Nonstop to Comic Con at 4 p.m. So go check it out. Anybody in Indianapolis that's going to be going to Gen Con this weekend, go check out a free screening of Nonstop to Comic Con. You will not be disappointed.
Yeah, and say good things about it. We're looking for our 30th festival win. So say some good words. Maybe we'll get it.
Yeah. Fingers crossed, everybody.
I got everything crossed.
Ooh.
When I go pee later, I'm going to cross the streams.
But there's only one stream.
No, I pee up straight in the air, and then when it's coming down, I spray across it.
Oh, cool.
It's pretty impressive.
It sounds impressive. It
sounds impressive, yeah.
It's kind of a ride. Yeah. Well, cool. Well, thanks, guys, for joining us for another fun episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. You know the drill. Make sure to listen to the other podcasts in the Geek Legacy Network. We've got the Comic Corner podcast with Jeff and Tyler, where they talk about comics on their full list. It's a, kind of an exciting time with Rebirth, the DC event coming out, and all of the brand new Marvel exciting now part 3 reboot extraordinaire. They're reading all those books, telling you which ones are good, which ones to get, which ones to pass on, and you will not be sad for listening to them. And then we got the Pixelated podcast with our very own Justin Cavender here and Stephen K. Jane's Y2K 2000. And they're talking about video games, and they put some stuff in a perspective for me. They educate me because I am a dullard and I don't know anything. But make sure you like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Geek Legacy, and drop us a line or a review. We'd be eternally grateful, and we'd send one of our interns over to pleasure you.